Matthew. It's good to have him here. He was in the area for the wedding yesterday and consented to share the message with us this morning. So I got to meet him, I'm not sure, it was a couple months ago you were here, and I appreciated what he had to share in Sunday school that Sunday, and we're blessed to be able to have him share here this morning. So before he shares, we'll just have a word of prayer. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together here this morning. And so we just invite your presence here. Pray for Brother Matthew as he shares your word with us. Pray that he would be able to share with freedom, to be able to articulate the message that you've given to him, that we could understand, that your Holy Spirit would minister to us. And so we commit this time to you. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.
Well, I came this morning. I've never been at a church where I've never had anybody shake my hand. So maybe I can get even this morning by putting some chairs out here. And I wonder who's going to sit in these chairs this morning. Let's see. Three chairs here. Do I have any volunteers? No? Okay. Now let's just put this one over here. Okay. Have any volunteers here? Okay. Turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. First of all, I'd like to thank you as a church for giving my sister and her family such a wonderful church home. I've heard a lot of good. I've heard no bad, and God bless you for providing that. And yesterday was a day to celebrate, and I have four married children. Three of them are here, as well as Daniel is here, and I celebrate when I see young couples get married, and you look at them, and you know they're going to stay married. Amen? I see the mom and dad on the bride's side, and I see faithfulness, and I see the mom and dad on the boy's side, and I see faithfulness. And praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I had no question yesterday if they're going to stay together. I've been to many marriages, many weddings, and I have wondered. But yesterday was not one of them. I seen faithfulness in Travis. I seen tears down his face at the... And I don't know what all he was crying about, but I'll tell you one thing. He is grateful to his Savior this morning, who has been faithful to him and has brought him to the bride of his life. And so many of us have been there as well. In Joshua, it's an interesting book. We're not going to stay in Joshua, but Joshua is such an interesting book. And let's look here. Let's start reading. I changed it on the way to church this morning. I decided to go to Joshua. Let's go to Joshua chapter 24, and let me see where I want to start. I think we'll start at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, that's interesting, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. Now, how many dads do we have here this morning? Wow. Now, there's a lot of dads here. Equally, probably, or close, as many moms. How many youth, you scattered around, just raise your hand, that are, let's say, youth group age, you're in youth group, or you're, raise your hands, don't be ashamed. Very good. Now, little children, this message is going to be so simple that even you, this is going to be so elementary, you're going to think I only graduated second grade, because it's going to be that simple this morning. So how many children that have not went to the youth group yet? Raise your hands. Oh, wow. Very good. Very good. Very good. Grandparents. Now, I'm in that category, and some parents are in that category. I've got 4 grandbabies, and the other day I said I have 2 more on the way, and I realized, no, I only have 1. Okay. But, so I have 5 grandbabies. That's how I look at it, because life is life. And so, how many grandparents here this morning? Well, I'm going to talk to you first. Okay? And then we're going to talk to the mom and dads. And then we're going to talk to the youth a little bit. And then we're going to talk to the little ones. And if you're offended by being little, okay, I'm sorry. But I'm going to have no one come forward today and sit in these chairs. But I am going to ask you this morning, which chair do you sit in? Now, how many of you are first-generation Christians? Got one. Is that all we have? My grandbaby's back there. Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you here this morning are not a Christian? You see, I'm going to deviate from this a little bit. I was so honored to hear that you were going to have church this morning. I am almost offended at the churches not having church this morning. I'll be honest with you. I'm almost offended. I'm not mad at them. You can go to Facebook and see I'm just a little bit offended. Because who are we? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We're going to let a virus that has infected 10,000 people across our country of 304 million keep you out of church at Womansdorf, Pennsylvania? Really? Now, I'm not making any broad statements because there may come a time. So if you, as a church, come a time to say, wow, maybe we should cancel, I'm not here to judge you. But I'd like you to remember Joshua for a moment. You remember the battle? You remember the battle? And it was a battle of an army bigger than them. And you remember, let's go back. Think about it for a minute. Joshua asked God, he says, hold the sun. Remember that chapter? Remember that passage? Hold the sun. Keep it daylight. So we can defeat this. God not only kept it daylight, but what did he do? He brought hail. And he defeated the army that day. But one little virus. And you know what? 3/4 of my town today, churches in my town have canceled services. Shame on them. Are we a people of fear? Are we? If we are, let's all go home. We are all 100% wasting our time. We are telling the community we are so righteous, but then the little fear comes and we all stay home. Now, there may be people that need to stay home. But this morning, I'm a diabetic. It could affect me. There's other people here that have other illnesses. It could affect them. But you chose to come here today. Today, you are a Joshua. That's who you are. But this person over here is not a Joshua. This person lives outside these windows right over there, or maybe across the hill, or maybe in my town, and has never accepted Jesus Christ in their life. This is that person right there. Has never accepted Jesus Christ in their life, and maybe, it's hard to believe, but has never been given the opportunity. Maybe a Christian has never said, let me tell you about my Savior. That's that person right there. Okay, that's that person. So we've already said there's no one here like that. But we have all been there. We were there at one time or other when we had not had Jesus Christ in our lives. We were there. We may have been raised in perfect homes. We may have had the perfect mom and dad. But we were there. We were in that chair. We did not have Jesus Christ in our life. And then we come to realize, I need something bigger. And then you got on your knees or you walked into your parents' room and you said, Mom and Dad, I want to give my heart to Christ. or if you were like my dad, it was on a street corner by some young people. But we were all there. If you have given your heart to Christ, you were once in that chair. Let's don't forget that. That's why we're here. Amen? Okay, now we got three other chairs there. What are them three other chairs? Well, we got the first chair. Let's start with the first chair right here. This chair, the first chair, is often a first-generation Christian. Now, who's a first-generation Christian? First-generation Christian is the one who did not have a mom and dad that accepted Jesus Christ in their life. They did it. Regardless of what their family was doing, they said, I want to accept Jesus Christ. That was my dad. Many people sit in that chair. But that's not only who sits in this chair. It's not only the first generation Christians. But let me tell you about the first generation Christians. They're a bit radical. It's like when they're out there, and they're out there in the world, and they reject all that. And when they reject it, they reject it. And they become a little radical. I remember my mom telling me how they went to church one Sunday and she couldn't touch anything because my dad got so radical, he painted their car black inside and out. So he was radical. Many, many people did not understand my dad. Many people with the, my dad would always say, sons, he would tell us boys over and over again, you have a long line of heritage. But we would go back to our relatives, and so many of them didn't practice anything. But he would say, when I accepted Jesus Christ, I took on a heritage. And that heritage is yours now. And my dad was somewhat right and somewhat wrong. That was a heritage. He did bring us into settings like this. My mom and dad, who were going to separate, got back together. My dad stopped leaving home. He no longer slept on the street. And he became a dad. But he wasn't a perfect dad. But he did bring us into settings like this and gave our family some stability. But just because my dad accepted Jesus Christ's life doesn't mean I'm automatically clear now. Each one of us eight children had to accept Jesus Christ into our lives to make that picture perfect. It wasn't just my mom and dad in this chair. Now there's more people in that chair besides just first generation Christians. Because see, I'm the second generation. I can also be in that chair. Or I can choose to be in this chair. Or this chair. I can't go back to that chair. Because I now know the truth. So I fall in one of these three chairs. I left that chair. And oftentimes we leave that chair when we accept Jesus Christ in our life and we come to this chair. We come to this chair. But oftentimes in our Christian life we end up going, what is this chair? What is this chair? Well, this chair, I'll tell you, first chair again. Let's go back. This chair is more than just first generation Christians. This chair is people that take the Word of God seriously in every aspect of life. I'm not talking about application this morning. I'm not talking how big or how small or how non-existent your veiling is this morning. I'm talking about making application in here first. Because if you don't have it here, you'll lose the rest of it over time. So that's the person that is in the chair making applications like in here, and it's coming out. You get it? It's coming forward. It's coming forward. I wonder sometimes, people that you see them one day, I've seen this over the years, see them one day, and then the next day, they're completely out of the way. Well, they didn't leave from this chair. They did not leave from this chair. These are people that don't walk away. These are people that are in church, regardless of how many viruses are out there. These are people right here that stand strong. These are people like David after God's own heart. That's the people in this chair. Now we got this chair right here. Well, who is in that chair? Well, I could be in that chair. And you could be. be in this chair, but you may be in this chair. What chair is that? Well, that's the people. And we're going to get more into this chair. But this is the people that know the truth. These are the people that have given their heart to Christ. They may have been in this chair. They came from that chair. But they're now in this chair. Why are they in this chair? They know the way. But they're looking for a way out. You know people like that? Maybe it's you here this morning. Maybe you're looking for a way out of this right here. Maybe you're looking for, maybe you're seeing a greater pastor. Maybe you're seeing a bigger church somewhere. Maybe that church has a band here. Maybe that church, they raise their hands a little bit. You may be in that chair this morning. I have been in this chair for years. I was taught. I was raised to know right from wrong. I was told where I should be on Sunday morning and be there on time. I went through Sunday school. I went through all the classes in Sunday school. And I'll tell you, in my youth, I gave my heart to Christ. And when I gave my heart to Christ that day, I went to this chair. And through the pressures of life, all the pressures that break upon us, and we get missed priorities in our life, I found myself in this chair. Still no right from wrong. And there's still a measure of me, and a good part of me, that wanted to do what's right. Because if I didn't want to do what's right, I could have left it. But I chose to stay there. Maybe I stayed there because I didn't want to disappoint my parents. Or maybe I stayed there because I didn't want to disappoint other people in my life. Or maybe I stayed there because my spouse is in this chair. And I want to stay close.
I need to slow down a bit. That chair. That's a dangerous chair. How many of you are in that chair this morning? You're here, but you're really not here. This chair. This chair used to be in this chair, or maybe never was in either chair. Now I've really confused you, right? Who can that be? Well, let's look real quick. Let's turn to Judges chapter 2. Sorry, brethren, I am an auctioneer, and I can get up in front of thousands of people and auctioneer, and I am not nervous at all. When I handle the Word of God, I'm a wreck. Absolute wreck. And so I'm nervous to even get in a glass of water. But I'm not scared of you. Let's just get that straight. I'm not scared of you. Because no doubt this message here may offend some. But I'll tell you, preachers, if you always get up behind a pulpit and you're always love and appreciate is going to be a wrong word here. But if you don't step on anybody's toes, then are you really doing your job? Think about it. Now, I didn't come here this morning to step on your toes. And this is a very hard message for me to bring because I am going to step on me this morning and I'm going to let you watch. But let's turn to Judges real quick because we remember that chair down there, okay? Who are them people? Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, begin to read at verse 7. Verse 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Those right there is right here. We have men like Joshua, men like David. And I'm going to put my dad, not putting him on a pedestal, but I'm going to put my dad in this chair. Men that seen the works of God. They seen it. Joshua was there at the walls of Jericho. He witnessed it. He was there. Okay, let's read. Verse 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timothines. I'm sorry. I went to 10th grade. First day of 10th grade. Them words there get really big for me. In the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of Gash. And also all the generations gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation. How many generations are you counting there? One, two, or three? I'm reading Joshua. I'm reading the ones that outlived Joshua. Look at that. Verse 10, and all the generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them. That was the generation between Joshua and where these people were. If I'm reading that right. Which knew not the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel. Aren't you amazed this morning how quick things can reverse? Last week, yesterday, in our store, there was a lady that walked in and wanted to buy 225 rolls of toilet paper. Our store manager says, no, you're not doing that. She had a line. She didn't even call me. She said, I'm not selling her 225 rolls. And I'll give you a secret. It went in rolls like this. You know when you go to a rest area or a restaurant and you get the big rolls? Thousands of sheets per roll. A week ago, we weren't talking about toilet paper. This week, we have sold probably close to 6,000 to 8,000 packs of toilet paper and rolls of toilet paper. Back to this. It's amazing how quick things reverse. From one generation that knew, that seen, and that sought after God. They were there at the walls of Jericho. They seen the walls fall. They were there when the sun stood still. They were there when the Jordan dried up in flood season. They were helped carry the stones out of the Jordan as proof. They carried the stones and they made a pile as proof to future generations. Jordan dried up so we could cross that. They were there. That's them. The next generation is right here. That's the next generation right there. They heard about it. They heard. They heard. They may even have seen the stones. They could walk over to Jericho and see the walls lying flat. But they did not see them fall. That is where we are today. Who has went to Jericho and has seen the walls laid on the ground? Who has seen the pebbles or the stones that were proof that the Jordan had dried up? Has anybody? No. We are those people. But even those people, even though we have not seen it, we can still believe. But you know what? They were there. They were comfortable. Now, who was they? Well, think about it. You have David. You have the first generation. We have David. Man after God's own heart, right? You have David, man after God's own heart. He longed for, you know, if you want to Google, why was David a man after God's own heart? Even Google will tell you. It's because he longed for justice and mercy for the people of God. He longed to do what was right. He got it wrong sometimes. That can be us. We can be in that first chair just like David. But then you know the second generation come along, Solomon. And you know a lot of talk is made about Solomon, how wise he was. And Solomon was wise. The wisest man to ever live. He was also very, very wealthy. The scriptures make note of that. Solomon was very, very wealthy. And he used that wealth not to glorify God. But what you don't understand, how rich David was. I'd like to tell you. David donated 109,400 ounces of gold to build the temple. You put that in money today. Stock market, I think my son told me $1,700, something like that. On the gold top, $1,700. You take that and you put it in the money. David donated $186 billion. Even Jeff Bezos makes him look like a pauper. But you don't read anywhere about David where money influenced him. Do you? Nowhere. But you read it about Solomon. Money influenced Solomon. And just look at it. Solomon, how many years did it take to build the temple? 7. Can somebody tell me how many years it took for Solomon to build his house? 13. Doesn't that tell you something? Doesn't that tell you something? And if you go and you look in 1 Kings, no, not 1 Kings, if you go and look at I forget where it was. It might have been 1 Kings, I believe so, but I'm not sure. It was, if you go there and you look, there's just as many pages in the Bible written on Solomon's home than there was written about building the temple. The priority was misplaced. Now, does that make money evil? Of course not. We're not even going to go there because we know that doesn't make... We know money is not evil. It's what we do with it. But you know, Solomon became even richer. Solomon today, if you took Solomon, the amount of gold Solomon had... The amount of gold Solomon had, it's 2.2 trillion. Think about it. 2.2 trillion. So we see that second chair there. I see that as Solomon. Solomon started out right here. But through prosperity and not having his priorities in line, he got off track and he ended up in this chair. So who's in this chair? Rehoboam. Who is Rehoboam? Rehoboam is Solomon's son. And it says about Rehoboam here, it's really sad. The Bible records Rehoboam as a vain and foolish man. So you have the man after God's own heart. You have the person who is sold out to the things of this world. He's still in church. He still wears the clothing. She still wears the veiling. She's still putting on that modest dress. And he's still being a good dad. But his children are right here. This man right here relies heavily on this man. The church would die if it was just a bunch of people like this. So today, I'm going to say, surmise, there is people in this church because you're still here and you look faithful. I'm going to say there's people here that are sitting in this chair. But I'm going to make an assumption right here that there is people here this morning in this chair. You're here, but you're not. Churches are full of them. Churches are full of people like that. They're bought in, but not sold out to the gospel. They know enough. to get through that door Sunday morning. They know enough to have a devotions. They know enough to teach a class. They know enough to make you believe they're okay. That they once in a while, if they're pushed, they'll get up and they'll give a testimony. Or maybe they'll pray publicly if asked. But these are not the people that come first on Sunday morning. These are the people that their hope in church cancels because of that virus. I'm not saying health issues. I'm not trying to offend anybody here this morning. But these are them people right here that they have to go. They don't want to, but they gotta go. And it don't mean there's couples like that. The wife could be here, husband could be here, or vice versa. It's possible for a dad to be here and the children to be here. The children could be in this chair. But these people were not taught by these people. They were always brought to church. They were always, you know, maybe you had family devotions every day. I'm going to be honest with you, brethren. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. As a dad, I fail. And so did my dad. Let's be honest this morning. Raise your hands. Do you fail at family devotions, parents? Come on. Let's be honest here this morning. Be honest. We all fail at it. That doesn't determine which chair you're in if your heart's in the right place. Things come up. Things happen. But if it is not a priority in your life, you're going to end up here. That's where you're going to end up. If you don't put reading the Word of God priority in your life, and if you want to read it on your phone, your tablet, I frankly don't care. Read the Word. Read it. Read it often. Many times I'm going down the interstate and I realize, oh, this pastor forgot to pray this morning. Let's be honest here this morning. How many of you forgot to pray sometime in your life? All of us. Okay, so we're right there. But you know what? That doesn't mean we're in that chair because we forgot to pray. If you do, you pull over. You make it a priority because you long after Him. And so you make it a priority. You go to the next exit. One time I pulled off the side of the road and I was praying and I looked up and there was a state trooper at my door. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm praying. He says, hey, that's all right. Can you do it on the exit? But when you do things like that, when you come to remembrance, oh, I forgot to pray, and you stop and you pull over, you keep yourself in that chair because your priorities are in line. Do you get what I'm saying here? But then you got these folks down here, and these folks don't even pray. They don't read the Bible. They have no desire. Some of us have children in that chair. I have a child in that chair. He's in that chair. He will tell you he's in that chair. It tears my wife and our hearts up. He's in that chair. And when that happened, I went and I said, I can't be a pastor no more. Because how do I preach to you? How do I preach to anyone if I can't pass it on to my son who sits in that chair? An older pastor who's not even Mennonite, I love him dearly. He said, Matthew, you know what it's like. He says, don't tell me you're going to resign from your ministry. Don't give that to me. You told me you felt you were called. And you told me you felt the calling of evangelism. And now your son gets in that chair and you're just going to walk away? What is that going to tell your son? He says, just recognize your faults and move on. Take your faults to God. Move on. And so here I was in this chair. And since I was in this chair right here, my son automatically. It seems so natural for him to go in this chair. But if I would have been in this chair, maybe my son would not have been in this chair. I told you, it's really simple. It's really simple. Brethren, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to chase your child down that's running away. I chased after him. And the whole time I was chasing after him, I didn't know what I was going to say when I got there. But these chairs, it is very possible for a man in this chair, let's be real, to have a son or daughter in this chair. Let's just be real about it. Because Satan's at work. So just because you may have a child, I'm being honest with you, and I'll tell you I was flat in this chair. But I'm not going to cast judgment because maybe there's some parents here this morning who have stayed in this chair, but their child rejected the truth. That happens. But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Train, what is that? Come on. We all know it. In the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The word is train. Train. Praise the Lord, my son is improving. Now he still would probably say he's very much in that chair. And we would probably still very much put him in that chair. But we see an openness coming forth with my son. But I'll tell you, my wife and I spent time on our knees in prayer and in tears, confessing to God faults that we had been. Now, people would come up to me in town because our family is really known in our town, and I debated what I should do. Should I keep this hidden? And then I thought, no. I have got all this praise all these years in my town for having a beautiful family. I decided to take it public. In a proper way, and let the town know, you know what? Even families that follow God sometimes get off track. Or even families that follow God sometimes, things don't always. Because sometimes I think that society looks into our windows of our churches and they see perfection. And then when they walk through our door, they make that circle around long enough to realize, wow, he's got problems. And out the door they go. Fortunately, my dad didn't do that. Because my dad had people in his life that walked with him to the day he died. Had people that walked with our family to the day they died. And some of them people are here today, walked with us. I ask you this morning, and I'm not near going to get done with my message, but I ask you this morning, which chair are you in? Youth, which chair do you want to be in? Which chair do you want to be in here? Now, if you've given your heart to Christ, you can't go back to this chair and deny you've never known the truth. You're here. You've heard the truth. You can never be in this chair, okay? There are some little ones this morning that we could probably put in his chair, and not in an evil way. They just haven't given their hearts to Christ yet. Okay? But you, old enough to know better, you can't never go to that chair again. So you fall in one of these three categories. You follow after David, who longed after God. Or you're in this chair, everybody thinks you long after God. Or you're in this chair, you don't long after God at all. Three chairs. I can't add a fourth one here. You're in one of these three chairs this morning, youth. Which one are you in? Don't give it to me that my dad failed. Because I've got news for you. All of us dads have failed. Every one of us. Every one of us can go to situations where we said it the wrong way. Or not in the right attitude. Or maybe we did something wrong. Dads, if you do something wrong, clear it up with your youth. Don't allow them in their lives to make excuses like my son can do. Don't allow them to make excuses. Go to them. The reason my son, it's through much prayer, but God uses parents. And the reason my son here is getting softer, because he was real hard. He was tough. He just flat said, I don't want to serve God. But the reason he's become softer, now he says he's going to church. I haven't followed him to church, so I don't know if he's going to church or not. But I decided to take him at his word. He said he's going to church because last summer, he didn't want to go to church. So I take that it's good. It's good. Dads, if you have things that you haven't done right, and you all have that one-on-one conversation with your youth. Please, set them down. Talk to them. Pour your heart out to them. Pour your heart out to them. Just tell them, they already know you made a mistake. So just tell them, Missy, I made a mistake. I did this wrong. But let me tell you what I'm doing. And then dads, move over from this chair to this chair because you'll help your youth abide in this chair. Little ones. Right now you carry your children, mom and dads. You carry them little ones in your arms and they are with you if you're in this chair. They're with you. But if you just want people to think that you long after God, but you really have desires out there, you're holding them in this chair. Don't expect that this little one that you're holding, that you're burping, is going to grow up and say, oh, thanks, Dad, but no thanks. I'm going to move over to this chair. No. The natural progression of man with Satan so alive is that little child's going to grow up and think, wow, they're going to think it. He maybe not say it, but they're going to see Dad. You know, his biggest goal in life is that new truck. And they're going to see Dad at the car dealership beating up the salesman just making a commission. And they're going to see him ruining his testimony, being rude to the salesman. And they're going to realize that material possessions are more important to Dad. And when they grow up, they're going to see you're looking at a Chevy and they're looking at the Porsche. And they'll move right over to here quicker than you realize, and you won't even think it. You'll still be over in this chair and you'll have family devotions. And you know, you'll hurry up and have family devotions because you got to hurry up and get to work. Hurry up and let's pray because I got to go. You been there, dads? And yet your little child's over here. You're holding him on his lap. Or he's standing beside you. You're not tricking him. He knows what chair you're in. He knows which chair you're in. Now, the Bible says we can learn from little children. Bible says we can learn from little children. The other day, when all that, it started breaking that Virginia was canceling schools and they may close businesses, and I don't know about you, but I'm not rich enough to have my business closed. I seen on Facebook that they're going to close businesses for 8 weeks. They're just making this up. They have no idea. And I can allow all that fear to well up inside of me, but I decided no. I've already played that game and I lost one child already. I was so hurrying around to make it in life, I wasn't paying attention. I ended up in this chair and now my son's in this chair. I'm not doing that with a virus. I'm going to stay in that chair. So let the business go away. I'm going to stay right here. Right in this chair. And long after God. And I am going to be like Joshua. Joshua. As for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Now, I'm not the only pastor in my church. So maybe the church votes and says, we're not having church. But I know one family that's going to church. Because I've already been down that road. It doesn't pay. I've already been down that road. You know what? Maybe we should leave. We've done it. Let's leave on Sunday morning for our vacation. It's terrible. I can't believe I did stuff like that. Put priorities back in your life. Be after David. Long after God's own heart. Get in that first chair. Get in that first chair. I'd like for you to stand. And close your eyes. Now, brethren, I didn't get to near everything this morning. I didn't get to near everything. With your eyes closed, I'd like to tell you something. Just because my dad on the street that night gave his heart to Christ, I too had to give my heart to Christ. Little ones here this morning, those of you that are at the age of accountability, and God is speaking into your life and saying, you need to accept Him. Don't put Him off, little ones. Don't put Him off. Maybe you're a youth here this morning, and you've already given your heart to Christ. You've done it like your parents. But maybe you're not, maybe you're in but not sold out to Christ. Now's the time to get it right. Maybe you're a parent this morning with a little one on your lap. Maybe you're that parent with a little one on your lap this morning, and you know in your heart, you really didn't want to come this morning. That is a sign that if you're not in that second chair, you're getting ready to land in it. Maybe you're a grandparent here this morning. Maybe you're a grandparent here this morning. I know. I'm a grandparent. I want my children faithful. I want them faithful. I want them faithful. I want them faithful. But maybe you see in your life where you're being a hindrance and a stumbling block to your married children, to your grandchildren. Don't be that stumbling block. You are the foundation here this morning. Christ is our foundation. But you are here. You should be the strength of the congregation as the grandparent. And you're here. I plead with you to get it right with God. Don't let another moment, because grandbabies are watching. Or maybe you're here this morning and you just want to totally be honest with yourself. Matthew, I'm not in chair one. I'm not sold out. And Matthew, I can't even say I'm in chair two. I can't even say I'm in. I'm here, but I'm not even in. I give my heart to Christ, but I have fell away and I am firmly planted in chair number three. I no longer desire, but I've heard truth and I want it. And I want it, and I want it badly. Maybe you're there this morning in chair three. There was a family, keep your eyes closed. There was a family that had a vase. And this vase had been in the family for many, many generations. And even to the parents, this vase was ever so important to them. And one day they went off, maybe to the grocery store. I don't know where they went. They went somewhere. And they come back to find their little children holding the vase. It was in pieces. It had broken because the children were playing ball or something. And they knocked over the vase and they broke it. And while they knew the vase was dear to mom and dad, it really wasn't a big deal to them. Is that how we handle our faith this morning? It's a really big deal to the grandparents. It's a really big deal. But you have broken that vase in your family heritage. You've allowed Satan to enter in. And that vase is broken. Well, I'll tell you, you can glue a vase back together, but it'll never be the same. But thankful to God and His mercy, if you are living a broken life right now, God will not only provide the glue, He will put you back together whole and make you whole. And you can be in that first chair and you can be longing after Him. That's where we all should be. I'm not going to look this morning, Merlin. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to let you have a conversation with your God. Ask Him this morning, God, which chair am I in? If I am in the first chair, Lord, help me remain there. If I'm in the second chair, Lord, forgive me. If I'm in the third chair, come into my life. I'll give you a moment. No one's looking. It's only you and your God. If you want to make a public expression by raising your hand, go ahead. No one's going to see you. It's just you and your God. No one needs to see you. Not even me. I don't need to see you. Just make your affairs right with God. We live in uncertain times. Now's the day of salvation. Thank you, brethren. I appreciate you. God bless you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for your Son Jesus who came, who lived, and who died. We thank you for his time here on this earth, Lord, as he came as a child, but he lived perfectly, 100% God, yet 100% man, tempted in all ways as we, yet remained faithful to the very end. And then, Lord, he took our sins. You took our sins and you took them to the cross. Even those sins this morning that we have yet to commit. We thank you. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning. We do not know the condition of the hearts of men. We only know the condition of our own heart. Lord, rid us of that wrong, the sin, the iniquity, the selfishness, the bitterness, or whatever it may be in my life, Lord, that is dragging me down and putting me in that second or that third chair, Lord. Pick me up, Lord. Pick us up this morning. We ask, Lord, and plant us firmly in that first chair that our children may see that we long after you. Lord, we ask you to be with this congregation. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless them. Be with the leaders, Lord, as they watch out for the flock. Be with each grandparent and the importance of being a grandparent, Lord, and how that weighs heavily on the married children and the grandbabies. Lord, we think of the parents here this morning as they hold the little ones on their lap or sitting beside them and how the little ones are following in their footsteps. And Lord, we think of the youth here this morning. We think of the youth and the decision they have made to follow you, Lord. We ask that you would help them. Help us all, Lord. Help us all. Please, Lord, help us all to stay faithful to you. And if there be things in our lives that we should change, Lord, reveal it to us. We think of the young ones here this morning, Lord. When we think of the young ones here this morning, certainly, while they may not know what are facing uncertain days, but those days and uncertainty are only temporal, because we know you are a God and you have everything in control, and you are there providing a place for us. We ask that you would help us to be faithful to the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In your Songs of Faith and Praise, number 560.